Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob. I'm reading today from the life and diary of David Brainerd. With comments from time to time from Jonathan Edwards. We're on Friday, October 5, it's 1744, and we arrived at Susquehanna River at a place called Opahalhopong, and found there 12 Indian houses. And after I had saluted the king in a friendly manner, I told him my business and that my desire was to teach them Christianity. After some consultation, the Indians gathered and I preached to them. And when I had done, I asked if they would hear me again. They replied that they would consider of it, and soon after sent me word that they would immediately attend if I would preach, which I did with freedom both times. When I asked them again whether they would hear me further, they replied they would the next day. I was exceeding sensible of the impossibility of doing anything for the poor heathen without special assistance from above, and my soul seemed to rest on God and leave it to him to do as he pleased in that which I saw was his own cause. And indeed, through divine goodness, I had felt something of this frame most of the time while I was traveling thither, and in some measure before I set out. Saturday, October 6. Rose early and besought the Lord for help in my great work. Near noon preached again to the Indians, and in the afternoon visited them from house to house, and invited them to come and hear me again the next day, and put off their hunting design, which they were just entering upon, until Monday. This night, I trust, the Lord stood by me to encourage and strengthen my soul. I spent more than an hour in secret retirement, was enabled to pour out my heart before God for the increase of grace in my soul, for ministerial endowments, for success among the poor Indians, for God's ministers and people, for distant dear friends, and so forth. Blessed be God. Well, the next day he complains of great want of fixedness and intenseness in religion, so that he could not keep any spiritual thought 1 minute without distraction, which occasioned anguish of spirit. He felt amazingly guilty and extremely miserable, and cries out, "O my soul, what death it is to have the affections unable to center in God, by reason of darkness, and consequently roving after that satisfaction elsewhere, that is only to be found here." However, he preached twice to the Indians with some freedom and power, but was afterwards damped by the objections they made against Christianity. In the evening, in a sense of his great defects in preaching, he entreated God not to impute to him blood guiltiness, but yet was at the time enabled to rejoice in God. Monday, October 8, visited the Indians with a design to take my leave of them, supposing they would this morning go out to hunting early. But beyond my expectation and hope, they desired to hear me preach again. I gladly complied with their request, and afterwards endeavored to answer their objections against Christianity. Then they went away, and we spent the rest of the afternoon in reading and prayer, intending to go homeward very early the next day. My soul was in some measure refreshed in secret prayer and meditation. Blessed be the Lord for all his goodness. Tuesday, October 9. We rose about 4 in the morning, and commending ourselves to God by prayer and asking his special protection, we set out on our journey homewards about 5, and traveled with great steadiness till past 6 at night, and then made us a fire and a shelter of barks, and so rested. I had some clear and comfortable thoughts on a divine subject, by the way, towards night. In the night the wolves howled around us, but God preserved us. The next day they rose early and set forward, and traveled that day till they came to an Irish settlement with which Mr. Brainerd was acquainted, and lodged there. He speaks of some sweetness in divine things and thankfulness to God for his goodness to him in this journey, though attended with shame for his barrenness. On Thursday he continued in the same place, and both he and Mr. Byram preached there to the people. Friday, October 12, rode home to my lodgings, where I poured out my soul to God in secret prayer, and endeavored to bless him for his abundant goodness to me in my late journey. I scarce ever enjoyed more health, at least of later years, and God marvelously and almost miraculously supported me under the fatigues of the way and traveling on foot. Blessed be the Lord, who continually preserves me in all my ways. On Saturday, he went again to the Irish settlement to spend the Sabbath there, his Indians being gone. Lord's Day, October 14, was much confused and perplexed in my thoughts, could not pray. I was almost discouraged, thinking I should never be able to preach anymore. Afterwards, God was pleased to give me some relief from these confusions. But still I was afraid and even trembled before God. I went to the place of public worship, lifting up my heart to God for assistance and grace in my great work. And God was gracious to me, helping me to plead with him for holiness and to use the strongest arguments with him. Drawn from the incarnation and sufferings of Christ for this very end, that men might be made holy. Afterwards I was much assisted in preaching. I know not that ever God helped me to preach in a more close and distinguishing manner for the trial of men's state. Through the infinite goodness of God, I felt what I spoke. He enabled me to treat on divine truth with uncommon clearness. And yet I was so sensible of my defects in preaching that I could not be proud of my performance, as at some times. And blessed be the Lord for his mercy. In the evening I longed to be entirely alone, to bless God for help in a time of extremity, and longed for great degrees of holiness, that I might show my gratitude to God. The next morning he spent some time before sunrise in prayer, in the same sweet and graceful frame of mind that he had been in the evening before. Afterwards went to his Indians and spent some time in teaching and exhorting them. Tuesday, October 16, felt a spirit of solemnity and watchfulness. Was afraid I should not live to and upon God. Longed for more intenseness and spirituality. Spent the day in writing, frequently lifting up my heart to God for more heavenly mindedness. In the evening enjoyed sweet assistance in prayer, and thirsted and pleaded to be as holy as the blessed angels. Longed for ministerial gifts and graces and success in my work. Was sweetly assisted in the duty of intercession, and enabled to remember and plead for numbers of dear friends and Christ ministers. He seemed to have much of the same frame of mind the two next days. Friday, October 19. Felt an abasing sense of my own impurity and unholiness, and felt my soul melt and mourn that I had abused and grieved a very gracious God, who was still kind to me, notwithstanding all my unworthiness. My soul enjoyed a sweet season of bitter repentance and sorrow that I had wronged that blessed God, who I was persuaded was reconciled to me in his dear Son. My soul was now tender, devout, and solemn, and I was afraid of nothing but sin, and afraid of that in every action and thought. Now, the four next days were manifestly spent in a most constant tenderness, watchfulness, diligence, and self-diffidence. But he complains of wanderings of mind and languor of affections and so on. Wednesday, October 24. Near noon, rode to my people. Spent some time and prayed with them. Felt the frame of a pilgrim on earth. Longed much to leave this gloomy mansion, but yet found the exercise of patience and resignation. And as I returned home from the Indians, spent the whole time in lifting up my heart to God. In the evening enjoyed a blessed season alone in prayer, was enabled to cry to God with a childlike spirit for the space of near an hour, enjoyed a sweet freedom in supplicating for myself, for dear friends, ministers, and some who are preparing for that work, and for the Church of God, and longed to be as lively myself in God's service as the angels. Thursday, October 25, was busy in writing. Was very sensible of my absolute dependence on God in all respects. I saw that I could do nothing, even in those affairs that I have sufficient natural faculties for, unless God should smile upon my attempt. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of ourselves anything as Paul said, I saw that was a sacred truth. Friday, October 26, in the morning, my soul was melted with a sense of divine goodness and mercy to such a vile, unworthy worm. I delighted to lean upon God and place my whole trust in Him. My soul was exceedingly grieved for sin and prized and longed after holiness. It wounded my heart deeply, yet sweetly, to think how I had abused a kind God. I longed to be perfectly holy, that I might not grieve a gracious God, who will continue to love, notwithstanding His love is abused. I longed for holiness more for this end than I did for my own happiness' sake. And yet, this was my greatest happiness, never more to dishonor, but always to glorify the blessed God. Afterwards rode up to the Indians in the afternoon. The four next days he was exercised with much disorder and pain of body, with a degree of melancholy and gloominess of mind, bitterly complaining of deadness and unprofitableness, yet mourning and longing after God. Wednesday, October 31, was sensible of my barrenness and decays in the things of God, and my soul failed when I remembered the fervency I had enjoyed at the throne of grace. Oh, I thought, if I could but be spiritual, warm, heavenly-minded, and affectionately breathing after God, this would be better than life to me. My soul longed exceedingly for death, to be loosed from this dullness and barrenness, and made forever active in the service of God. I seemed to live for nothing and to do no good, and oh, the burden of such a life. Oh, death! Death, my kind friend, hasten and deliver me from dull mortality, and make me spiritual and vigorous to eternity. Thursday, November 1, had but little sweetness in divine things, but afterwards in the evening felt some life and longings after God. I longed to be always solemn, devout, and heavenly-minded, and was afraid to leave off praying lest I should again lose a sense of the sweet things of God. Friday, November 2, was filled with sorrow and confusion in the morning, and could enjoy no sweet sense of divine things, nor get any relief in prayer. I saw I deserved that every one of God's creatures should be let loose to be the executioners of His wrath against me, and yet therein saw I deserved what I did not fear as my portion. About noon rode up to the Indians, and while going could feel no desires for them, even dreaded to say anything to them. But God was pleased to give me some freedom and enlargement, and made the season comfortable to me. In the evening had enlargement in prayer, but alas, what comforts and enlargements I have felt for these many weeks past have been only transient and short, and the greater part of my time has been filled up with deadness or struggles with deadness and bitter conflict with corruption. I found myself exercised sorely with some particular things that I thought myself most of all freed from. And thus I have ever found it, when I have thought the battle was over, and the conquest gained, and so let down my watch, the enemy has risen up and done me the greatest injury. Saturday, November 3, I read the life and trials of a godly man, and was much warmed by it. I wondered at my past deadness, and was more convinced of it than ever, was enabled to confess and bewail my sin before God with self-abhorrence. Lord's Day, November 4. Had, I think, some exercise of faith in prayer in the morning. Longed to be spiritual. Had considerable help in preaching to my poor Indians. Was encouraged with them, and hoped that God designed mercy for them. The next day he set out on a journey to New York, to the meeting of the presbytery there, and was from home more than a fortnight, that's 2 weeks. He seemed to enter on his journey with great reluctance, fearing that the diversions of it would prove a means of cooling his religious affections, as he had found in other journeys. But yet in this journey he had some special seasons wherein he enjoyed extraordinary evidences and fruits of God's gracious presence. He was greatly fatigued and exposed to cold and storms, And when he returned from New York to New Jersey on Friday, he was taken very ill and was detained by his illness some time. Wednesday, November 21, rode from Newark to Roxiticus in the cold and was almost overcome with it. Enjoyed some sweetness in conversation with dear Mr. Jones while I dined with him. My soul loves the people of God, especially the ministers of Jesus Christ who feel the same trials that I do. Thursday, November 22. Came on my way from Roxiticus to Delaware River. Was very much disordered with a cold and pain in my head. About 6 at night I lost my way in the wilderness and wandered over rocks and mountains, down hideous steeps, through swamps and most dreadful and dangerous places. And the night being dark, so that few stars could be seen, I was greatly exposed. I was much pinched with cold and distressed with an extreme pain in my head, attended with sickness at my stomach, so that every step I took was distressing to me. I had little hope for several hours together, but that I must lie out in the woods all night in this distressed case. But about 9 o'clock, I found a house through the abundant goodness of God and was kindly entertained. Thus I have frequently been exposed and sometimes lain out the whole night, but God has hitherto preserved me, and blessed be his name. Such fatigues and hardships as these serve to wean me more from the earth, and I trust will make heaven the sweeter. Formerly, when I was thus exposed to cold, rain, and so on, I was ready to please myself with the thoughts of enjoying a comfortable house, a warm fire, and other outward comforts. But now, these have less place in my heart through the grace of God, and my eye is more to God for comfort. In this world, I expect tribulation, and it does not now, as formerly, appear strange to me. I do not in such seasons of difficulty flatter myself that it will be better hereafter, but rather think how much worse it might be, and how much greater trials others of God's children have endured, and how much greater are yet perhaps reserved for me. Blessed be God that he makes the thoughts of my journey's end and of my dissolution a great comfort to me under my sharpest trials, and scarce ever lets these thoughts be attended with terror or melancholy, but they are attended frequently with great joy. On Friday, November 23, visited a sick man, discoursed and prayed with him, and then visited another house, where one was dead and laid out. I looked on the corpse and longed that my time might come to depart, that I might be with Christ. Then went home to my lodgings about 1 o'clock, felt poorly, but was able to read most of the afternoon. Within the space of the next 12 days, says Jonathan Edwards, he passed under many changes in the frames and exercises of his mind. He had many seasons of the special influences of God's Spirit, animating, invigorating, and comforting him in the ways of God and the duties of religion, but had some turns of great dejection and melancholy. He spent much time within this space in hard labor with others, to make for himself a little cottage or hut to live in by himself through the winter. Yet he frequently preached to the Indians, and speaks of special assistance he had from time to time in addressing himself to them, and of his sometimes having considerable encouragement from the attention they gave. But on Tuesday, at December 4, he was sunk into great discouragement to see most of them going in company to an idolatrous feast and dance, after he had taken abundant pains to dissuade them from these things. Thursday, December 6. Having now a happy opportunity of being retired in a house of my own, which I have lately procured and moved into, and considering that it is now a long time since I have been able, either on account of bodily weakness or for want of retirement or some other difficulty, to spend any time in secret fasting and prayer, considering also the greatness of my work and the extreme difficulties that it attended, and that my poor Indians are now worshipping devils, notwithstanding all the pains I have taken with them, which almost overwhelms my spirit. Moreover, considering my extreme barrenness, spiritual deadness and dejection of late, as also the power of some particular corruptions. Now, I set apart this day for secret prayer and fasting, to implore the blessing of God on myself, on my poor people, on my friends, and on the church of God. At first I felt a great backwardness to the duties of the day, on account of the seeming impossibility of performing them, but the Lord helped me to break through this difficulty. God was pleased, by the use of means, to give me some clear conviction of my sinfulness and a discovery of the plague of my own heart, more affecting than what I have had of late. Especially I saw my sinfulness in this, that when God had withdrawn himself, then instead of living and dying in pursuit of him, I've been disposed to one of these two things, either first to yield an unbecoming respect to some earthly objects, as if happiness were to be derived from them, or secondly, to be secretly forward and impatient and insuitably desirous of death, so that I have sometimes thought I could not bear to think my life must be lengthened out. And that which often drove me to this impatient desire of death was a despair of doing any good in life, and I chose death rather than a life spent for nothing. But now God made me sensible of my sin in these things, and enabled me to cry to him for forgiveness. Yet this was not all I wanted, needed, for my soul appeared exceedingly polluted. My heart seemed like a nest of vipers, or a cage of unclean, hateful birds. Therefore I wanted to be purified by the blood of sprinkling that cleanses from all sin. And this I hope I was enabled to pray for in faith. I enjoyed much more intenseness, fervency, and spirituality than I expected. God was better to me than my fears. Towards night I felt my soul rejoice that God is unchangeably happy and glorious, that he will be glorified whatever becomes of his creatures. I was enabled to persevere in prayer till sometime in the evening, at which time I saw so much need of divine help in every respect that I knew not how to leave off, and I forgot that I needed food. This evening I was much assisted in meditating on Isaiah 52:3. For thus saith the Lord, you have sold yourselves for naught. And blessed be the Lord for any help in the past day. I'm going to stop right there at the end of December 6. This thing about death with him, you know, some of you must be thinking, what a morbid man, always thinking about death. We can say that. Or we can say, here's a man who loved Jesus so much, he wanted to see him face to face. He loved the other world so much that this world had just become obnoxious to him. We don't hear him saying like Paul, well, I need to stay here because you need me here. But Paul was the same way, in that he always wanted to be with the Lord. That would be far greater. He knew that. Do you know that? Do I know that? Is that our daily thing? I see here he has a great diet plan, too. Some of you need it. Some of us need it. His diet plan is just to pray so much that you don't have time to eat and don't have desire to eat. How about that? Here's a couple challenges for you today. Oh, my. The man is just filled with challenges. Thank God for men like David Brainerd. Well, we have the works of other great men on this website. I hope you'll go checking them out. Their stories, their words, teachings all over about Muhammad, prophecy, the Quran, through the Bible courses, commentaries, so much more, and all kinds of stuff on North Korea. Pictures, just click on photos, you will see hundreds of pictures that will help you focus in on North Korea and pray for her. Thank you so much for being with me today, and this is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we will talk soon. Bye-bye.